You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please. Let's turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 14. As you turn there, I have been waiting for so long to preach this text. I'll never forget talking to my father-in-law. He pastored the same church 57 years. And I said to him, at the beginning of my ministry, how in the world, I want to stay like you have stayed in your church a long time. I said, how in the world will I have enough to preach? I'm talking about Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and eventually we have an elementary chapel, a high school chapel, a college chapel, and all the, how will I have enough to preach out of that one book? Can you imagine taking a science book and for 57 years preaching out of the science book?
Yes, sir.
Or a history book that side, and for every three times a week plus other, so can you imagine trying to keep people's attention?
Yes, sir.
And I'll never forget, honey, what your dad said to me. He said, son, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get older in life and you're going to look back and you will find that you have preached less of this book than you've preached. For example, I have wanted to preach this text for years and I never have. There is so much that I have missed many verses and chapters and things that I want to preach through that I never got to. And I've been here 49 years, and as far as I know, I think Leanne Manley would remember this. I know your husband is over in Children's Church would know. But I think I preached one message two times or three times, that message on Selah years ago. But I've never, to my knowledge, repeated a message. And Brother Reimers, you just worked in my office, and I've got all my messages, starts up here on the top row and goes down this wall and then down this wall, and they're in notebooks. And then like this one today, I don't have any notes, but I've got my Bible, what I'm supposed to say. And I've given so many Bibles away. I still probably have, I'm going to guess, maybe 30 Bibles left. Some I've used, some I haven't used. But I haven't preached this text ever in my life. I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited for this reason. Does God speak to you? A newscaster, a woman, I don't even remember her name, very well-known lady about 3 years ago, was making fun, maybe 4 years ago during an election, because someone said, God was speaking to my heart. And they made fun of that, saying that that's the most ridiculous thing, to hear that God speaks to people. Now, I know God doesn't speak in an audible voice. If he did, he would say, Brother Martinez, you fill in the blank. I think he looks awesome today. Don't you think the guy looks great? I love the spirit of these men. I love the spirit of God's people. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose, just as long as you're on the yellow team. But I want to try to help us to see today, in just these moments we're together, that God does speak to you and the avenues he uses to speak to your heart. I wish I could say I follow every time he deals with me. Sometimes it's through the Holy Spirit because that's his function. I've wanted for 2 years, I have 40 deacons in this church that you gave me. They're men of this church, laymen in the church, and I work, they're not staff members, they're laymen in this church, and I have a meeting once a month. For 2 years, I've wanted to tell them something. And it's not earth-shattering, it's not that I'm dying, or I'm quitting, or I'm getting out of the ministry, and it's not that someone gave us $100 million, and it's not that we've got land. It's nothing that's to be alarmed about. It's just something I want to tell them. And for 2 years, once a month, I have tried to tell them. But every time I've tried to tell them, I thought there's nothing negative about it. It seems like the Spirit of God says, don't say anything. I've tried to learn when I don't have a peace about saying something, I should not say it. For example, I don't want to say anything against Brother Everson's hairpiece that he wears. I'm not gonna criticize his hairpiece. Is that real? Can I just pull that? That is, you're supposed to say ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, okay. That is real. I could do that same thing, folks. I could wear a piece like that. But that is the most wonderful hair. And, but please, deacons, don't be alarmed. I've not had a peace to talk to you about it. It's not going to be earth shattering. And you'll never know. So I've been waiting, and you'll never know when it is when I talk to you about it. It's just every month I've not had a peace in my heart. Sir, that might be what you need to do with your wife. Ladies, that may be what you should do with your husband. Sometimes we flap our jaws too much and our ears are no, two ears, one mouth. A preacher friend of mine in Texas, he and I are exact same age, and he said, Brother Trevor, I used to tell my kids, your jaws are on overload. And sometimes we talk too much when we ought to be listening to the voice of God and how he speaks to us. It's an amazing thing. I'll just give you one illustration of this text. God's going to use a mulberry tree. Mulberry trees, do you remember, I don't know if nowadays you do it in schools, but when I was a boy, we used to play, here we go round the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush. Here we go round the mulberry bush so early in the morning. How many have ever heard that before? How many have never heard that before? That's what I was afraid of. We're in a different era. The rest of us just raised our hands. But I always thought the mulberry bush was always small until many years ago. The mulberry bush basically can grow, basically it grows to an average height of 79 feet. It's a tree. That's an 8-story building. Brazilians over here, these are the sweetest people. They've been getting saved left and right, and they're in a Brazilian class, but they come to the morning service and 99% don't understand what I'm saying, but they know we love them. In Brazil, have you ever seen a mulberry tree? They grow real tall, and their fruit on the mulberry tree is like a boysenberry, a black boysenberry. It's beautiful, and it's very sweet. Here, God's going to show us something in 1 Chronicles 19. The Philistines came in verse number 9, and they spread themselves. They were ready for a fight. And David inquired of God. That's a good thing to do. Verse 10, 1 Chronicles 14:10. 1 Chronicles, did I not tell you that? Did I tell you 2 Chronicles? Oh, 14. You put your glasses on, it turns to 14. 14. And you know, we'd save a lot of time if you would just read my mind. My wife can read my mind. I know what you're thinking. How do you know what I'm thinking? I'm not thinking anything. But come on, man, help me with that. Amen. Do they know? I know what you're thinking. There we go. Okay, 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles, all the double books in the Old Testament together. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2. 1 and 2. Backwards in order with the alphabet. So C, Chronicles is last. Samuel's first. All right, here we go. David, he was wondering about the Philistines. They're coming, verse number 9, and they're going to want a battle. They want to fight you. David inquired of God. You know, when you have a battle, that's a good thing to start right there. Inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up. Two words. Say those two. Ready? Go up. Now, again, God does not speak to you audibly. If you hear God out loud speaking to you, you believe you belong in a special hospital. God's not talking to you out loud. Well, God talks to me in dreams. No, God's not talking. We have a completed revelation of the Word of God right here. But I want you to see, God says, go up. And so they went up. And verse number 12, and they left their gods there, David's commandment, and they burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again. You know, it's something about troubles and trials and satanic attack, it just keep coming. They just keep coming. And you can live your life depressed. Okay, I'm out of bed this morning. What's the bad thing happening to me today? Or you can say, hey, this is going to be a great day today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. I don't want to be chief rain cloud. And here it is. The Philistines came again. And David, just the same in verse 14 as he did in 10, inquired again of God. And God said, go not up. You know, many times God doesn't deal with us the same way every time. Every Monday morning, I get X amount of money. No, maybe that happened one Monday morning. The next Monday morning, you may not have any money. Just because God did it one way, one time, he doesn't do it the same every time. God can change his methods of grace, and not for salvation, but the methods of mercy that he shows upon us. He used sometimes in the Bible, he used this widow woman. And a widow woman took care of a man of God. God uses different ways to take care of us. And here he inquired again, and God said, go not up after them. Turn away from them. I don't like that. Why would God say turn away? You face your enemy. You face your obstacle. But God says turn away from them. So if God said it, it must be right. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, thou shalt hear the sounds going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Stop and think with me. Have you ever, Mr., you'll know what I'm talking, those dogwoods in North Carolina and Tennessee, and the dogwood trees, they grow up, they're on the roads, they're everywhere. And in the spring of the year especially, the brand new fresh leaves along the side of the road, they're everywhere. And then that spring breeze comes through. And all those leaves are in sequence together. It's just the most, it's not like one's going this way, one's going this way, one's going, it's just they blow, those old dogwood trees, they blow in sequence together. And you go down the highway, I'm not even watching the road anymore, I'm watching the trees. It's the most wonderful thing to see. They just move together. And God says, I want you to let these trees teach you something. And the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt go out to battle. When you hear the sound, the wind comes, and those leaves are clapping their hands, and those leaves are making a sound. When you begin to hear the tops of them moving in sequence together, you go up and just smite the host of the Philistines. And David therefore did as God commanded him. And they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon to Gezer. And the fame of David went unto the lands of the Lord, and brought fear of him upon all the nations. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. So many times we're so agitated in life over marriage, over money, over family, over job, over our health. We are so agitated, we're not listening. Because those things, and I know what I'm talking about because I've been there as well as you. Those things begin to grip our heart. And it looks so hopeless. It looks so sad. It looks so life-altering. It looks like there's nothing can happen good out of this. How does God speak? Here he used a mulberry tree. He used a donkey in the Bible. He used a lad. He used a widow. God spoke to people through different sources. How does God speak to us? Well, one way is the scriptures. Say it together. The what? The Bible. Thy word. Psalm 105, verse number, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will light your path. God's word will speak to you. God's word, there are some nights in my life that my heart is so full of turmoil. probably of my own doing, or my own frustration, or my own fear, or whatever. And I get so troubled in here, but I can get up, and some nights that book of Psalms becomes so real, like it wasn't in the daytime. I'm not saying not in the daytime. I'm going through the radio right now, a chapter a day on the book of Psalms, and it's helping me more than it's helping our listeners, I believe, because God's speaking to me as Brother Aaron and I work on these Revival Time broadcasts. God's dealing with me through the Word of God. I wear this passage right now that about the last 20 chapters, it's all David. I am overwhelmed. He says the word overwhelmed. I am in trouble. He uses it all the time. His son was chasing him. Saul was chasing him. His heart, he discouraged him, his own heart. And David's just constantly, but thy word hath quickened me, he said. Amen. Thy word has comforted me. You know, God's word comforts and God's word convicts. Don't do that. Don't do that. God's word comforts and convicts. God's word gives compassion. So use the word of God. Say, well, does he speak to you from the word of God? Always.
Yes. Amen.
Recently I was praying. I said, now, Lord, it seems like you've been a little silent. I wasn't accusing God. It seems like you've been a little silent recently to me. You know what I said when I prayed that? I said, that's always me, it's not you. God is never silent. We sometimes, because we do not turn to God in everything in prayer, we don't turn to him and get advice and direction from the word of God. It's not God who's silent. It's Jack, you're silent. I hope you don't fire me because you say, oh my goodness. We all go through those things. Oh, I get up some nights in the word of God. I open my Bible and I just start reading. Sometimes I read it out loud. It helps me. And sometimes I just look at it and read it and study it. And I see where God directs my path from this book.
Amen.
When I was a little boy, about 15 minutes from here in Sunday school, I can remember singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for the Bible. Amen. We sing, I love the old Bible. I picked up an old hymn book out of my library. I've got all of them. I got the Nazarene, the Methodist, the Church of God. I got them all in there, you know. And I pulled one up because I was looking for a song. And I pulled it out of my, found it, the old Nazarene hymn book. They used to be known as the Church of Holiness. Above their doors, it always said, Holiness unto God. And so if you see a building, that was an old Nazarene church. And you know, I read this song. And it talks about, I start looking at another song. And I saw a song about the Bible. I was thinking about Brother Martinez. I was, how he gets us a hold of our Bible. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. And we sing songs about the Bible. I saw a song that I haven't sung in 55 years. I remember singing it in a quartet in that old Nazarene hymn book about the old Bible. The old Bible. This book, D.L. Moody said, will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. So I don't get anything out of it. There's no six-syllable words. I mean, it's easy read. We have little children that are reading it. You know how God speaks to me? Through the Word of God, the Scriptures. God speaks to me through the Spirit of God. You see, in John 16, for example, the Spirit of God is to guide me. He is to teach me. He is to convict me. He is to comfort me. God's Holy Spirit, when I got saved, you got saved, God placed within us the Holy Spirit of God. And he does those things for us. If you're a Christian, you say, you know, before I was saved, I could do this. It didn't bother me. I could shoot up and it didn't bother me. I could get drunk. It didn't bother me. And I found myself doing it. A man, oh my goodness, this happened 40 years ago. He got saved in our church and he drank a lot. And he got saved and his life was changed and we didn't have to tell him anything. He just gave up drinking and God gave him victory. You know, Brother Poussin, one day He came into my office. I'll never forget. I know the building. It had to be 1983 after, maybe 84, 85. And he said, Pastor, I don't think I'm saved. And I began to weep. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I had such victory. I've been doing great in my Christian life, reading my Bible, praying, coming to church, everything's great. He said, I haven't had touched liquor. I haven't touched it at all. But he said, I didn't get drunk. I can't believe. I'm going to tell you what I did. I started drinking. I just had a drink. I feel so badly about it. I said, listen, it's not my job to tell you if you're saved or not. But you're encouraging me right now because that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. You see, because you get saved doesn't mean you're sinless, flawless. You'll still potentially lose your temper or get mad or be frustrated or honk the horn at someone when you should not be honking the horn. Yeah, you'll still have this battle, that battle. But the truth is, that man later came back and said, I know I'm saved. I felt like he was too. He just had a lapse in his walk with God. That's the Holy Spirit saying, what you did was wrong. I don't know if my wife would ever know this. I don't know if the church would ever know it. But throughout every day of my life, he silences my mouth much of the time. Things I want to say, opinions I want to give. Anybody like that? You want to give an opinion? I think we all are like that. I wanted to tell you something in church 2 weeks ago today. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't bad. It wasn't anything. I just wanted to, and while I was preaching, it seemed like, don't say that. And so I didn't say it. I came back to it while I was preaching thinking, maybe I can say it now. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, what I told you about 15 minutes ago is still standing. Do you listen to God when you say, stop doing that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't write that. Don't. Every Sunday, Brother Moyer and I make a video out here by the Statue of Liberty. It's only about 3 to 4 minutes. I don't know if you watch it. You don't have to if you don't want to. But I asked the people of our church, said, please do not watch this today. And the video says, some of you in our church, you've been here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, nearly 50 years. You don't understand. So members, if you're a member, don't watch this now. But you don't understand that you could go ahead and get crossways and upset with the church. And you can go ahead and do that. But you're not doing it. So maybe go ahead and watch. Almost every church I know, in fact, every church I do know, has some people that their ministry is the Facebook where they want to say things they don't know anything about. I'm not talking about crimes or sins, but why are you broadcasting everybody else's problems? Why are you broadcasting the people that have raised their kids and their kids did not turn out right? Well, you know what happened there, don't you? What makes you the authority? You know, I'm going to live. I came here with a policy. I was never going to put anything in print and a letter that I would not want it published for the world to see. And that includes a text, an email, a letter. I don't know how to do the computer thing, but if I did face-to-face, I've got enough to say grace over in this life right here. We have a lady, I don't remember who she is. She's in Michigan, and one of our listeners of our station up there. And years ago, my goodness, this had to be about 10 years ago, the broadcast started. I was going to talk about this. Don't say things on the internet, kids. Don't go tell your mother-in-law off. Don't tell your family off. And I said on that broadcast that day, stop. And she said, I'm a listener. I said, I'm not talking about stop the car. Don't. I said, don't. Please don't write that letter to that mother-in-law. Please stop right now. Do not write your mother-in-law. You're going to tell her off. And you're going to give her a piece of your mind. Don't do it. She wrote in and said, I was writing my mother-in-law when you said that. And I was letting her have it. And I took it that God was speaking to my heart. And she says, I'm so grateful I never sent the letter. You know, the Spirit of God, He will convict you. And He will say, Noah, and you say, I got this uncomfortable feeling. That's the Holy Spirit. How do you hear the voice of God through the Scriptures? How do you hear the voice of God through the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God, John 16, 13, He will guide you into all truth. Are you listening? Number three, I tell you how I get to hear the mulberry trees through my Savior. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with me all the time. I get through the Scripture direction. I get through the Spirit of God. I get through the our Savior. I'll sing many times, sometimes every day, but, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. I want God to speak. In a psalm book, I think it's 399, He still speaks. I know His voice. I know we're out of time. Turn there, if you will. I just feel led to let's sing it together. Will you please turn with me, please? In I think it's 399. Is it, Brother Martinez? It is 399. He still speaks amid the hustling, clamoring world. Sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, page 399, as I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ears, on the chorus saying, He still speaks. I know His voice, sweeter sound never heard. I'm His voice. I'm so thankful the Spirit of God speaks. It is glory just to walk with Him. I love the old songs. He still speaks all the way my Savior leads me. And He'll speak with me and He'll talk to me. Not out loud and not I can hear words. But friend, when you get to know, we've been married December 52 years. I think I know her better today than I knew her December 23rd, 1972. I know her. I think I know this church after 49 years of pastoring more than I did 49 years ago. Different faces, but I think I know our church. I didn't have to send anything out. I never did anything. But I knew, and if you don't have a color on, it's no big deal. But I knew a lot of you are going to be involved with that. And that's okay if you're not. It's okay if you're not. Especially if you have orange on. My goodness, I feel bad for you. God wasn't speaking to you. I want, Brother Greg, I want God. I want the Scriptures to talk to me. I want the Spirit of God to talk to me. I want the Savior to talk to me. In supplication, He talks to me. Yes. The Word of God is so very powerful in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 that we have right to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. We sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And no, you're looking at, I don't pray enough. And sometimes when I'm praying, I fall asleep. But I tell you what, I do pray. And Brother Galvan, I just saw you over there. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Let's sing it together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Halfway through, I'll give you the last points and I'm done. You know, I want God to speak to me. He speaks to me through the scriptures. He speaks to me through the Spirit of God. He speaks to me through the Savior. He speaks to me through supplication and prayer. He speaks to me, go ahead and just play that, the saints of God. That man right there and his wife have been our dear friends for almost 50 years. Jackie, remember the night you got saved at your home, my wife and I? He doesn't say much, but when he says something, Manna, you've been here all those, I listen. Sometimes Titus chapter 2, God's gonna send an aged saint of God. He'll send a woman that knows God or a man that knows God. By the way, that sweet little girl in the second row there is our granddaughter. Sometimes he'll send a child. Ah, she's a kid. She doesn't know anything. Ah, her sister's a kid. Oh, her brothers are kids. Oh, I want to listen because God might be sending that child. Sent child a lot of times. 5,000 are fed because of a child. God sent them. I want to listen to the saints of God, the people of God, whether they're young or old. Brother Greg, they might be telling me something. I tell you how the Spirit of God, how I know the mulberry trees are speaking to me, the shepherd. And I'm blessed because I am the shepherd here. But your pastor is one of my shepherds, Brother Gravely. A lot younger than me. That doesn't mean he's not a man of God. As the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there's little shepherds. I want to listen. When a man, next week when these preachers come to preach in this pulpit for our missions conference, I am going to be listening. I'm older than all of them. That doesn't mean they're not men and women of God. I want the shepherd. I would never make any decision in my life without shepherd advice. The sad thing, you know, Brother Martinez, one of the sad things, most of my shepherds that I've had are all passed away, my great friends. But the Bible says, he being dead yet speaking, I almost every day try to think, what would Brother Bobby say in this situation? What would Lee Robertson say in this situation? What would Tom Malone say in this? What would Lester Roloff say? I don't want to govern your life. I don't want to rule your life. I don't want to veto anything in your life. That's not my job. But I certainly want to shepherd you and lead you by still waters and restore your souls, the Bible says. I want you to know that God speaks to me through singing. I find myself singing a lot. God, number 7, I find when I'm still. Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm not a still type person. You're maybe like me. Let's go do something. Let's go build a building or tear one down, but let's do something. But I want to be so still that I can hear the mulberry trees at the top. I think I gave you 7, 6, 7, 8 S's today. I want God to speak to me this week. When I go to the store, I want him to speak to me. Say hello to that person. Pass that person a track. He tells you that. Be kind to that waiter, that waitress. Give them a little bit bigger tip. They need something, maybe. Your pastor and I and my wife and his wife, we were eating dinner there at, is it Acropolis? Or, you know what I'm talking about? Greek restaurant, I think. And that sweet little waitress, she's got three grown kids in their 30s. I know her name, I know her kids' names. You could just tell she was weary. I asked her, are you a Christian? She said, I am, I got saved. I got way away from God. But 12 years now, I've been clean. Oh, the tears in her, you saw her. She goes, I've got three kids, all addicts. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for my kids? God let, you know, when your pastor got done talking to her then, he began, she was comforted. Sister Nolita, his wife, said, I'd like you to come to our church. She said, well, I work every Sunday. I get off at 5. She said, well, come Sunday night. That lady, divorced, raised drug addict kids, is a person. She's a person that needs someone to be kind to her. Someone tells you off this week at a store, Joan, you ought to know. Don't take the bait. Say, I am so sorry. You're right.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.